I do believe we are live. Welcome, my friends. Earlier today, Premier Ford made a big announcement about rising numbers and the ominous third wave that seems to have arrived, a third wave of COVID, and there is an enormous amount of fear, concern, and anxiety amongst so many of you. Oy vey, as they say in French. What can we all do about this? Is there anything we can do about it? We just like sit back and watch our lives come apart yet again? Well, in response to this breaking news, I have some news on breaking matzah. And I do believe that there are things we can do about the present situation. And well, let's just say that some of the things that I have discovered over the last 24 hours have absolutely astounded me, and I believe they will astound you too. So thank you for joining. Let's talk about matzah. Let's talk about matzah. So, in Hayom Yom, the Rebbe famously tells us that matzah, which is called Michla de Mehemenuta, or the bread of faith, on the first night of Pesach, is called matzah de asvata, for the second night of Pesach. Which would, of course, mean that if you're living in Israel and you have one Seder, it doesn't mean that you don't get asvata, only mehemenuta. Mehemenuta means faith. Asvata means wellness or healing. It means outside of Eretz Yisrael. We've got to work a lot harder to be mamshich, to actualize, and to draw forth holy energy, the blessings brought to us through mitzvot. Whilst I haven't seen this stated explicitly, it is abundantly obvious, at least to me, that in the land of Israel, the faith and the wellness must come on the same night. In Hayom Yom, the Rebbe famously quotes a teaching of the Alter Rebbe. And it goes something like this. When you suffer from illness, when you endure sickness, and then you find healing that can bring to faith, but there was sickness. It was a negative situation that helped reorient you to appreciate the hand of Hashem in your life. But when faith brings healing, well, then there's no sickness at all. In other words, a download of faith can be preventative medicine. It can shield and protect us. Maybe like those methods of inoculation that are being talked about today. Everybody wants to get a vaccine. People aren't sure. It's all about being safe. It's all about an added infusion of strength, the ability to fight off illness. When we have an added infusion of faith, it enables us to transcend negativity, which might open us to the harmful effects of what we could term illness, sickness, a lack of wellness. But of course, some of you are wondering, why would I share this with you now? The first Seder has passed, the second Seder has passed. We are already well into Chol HaMoed Pesach. Tomorrow, it's Erev Yom Tov, and we're going to be celebrating the final day in Israel and outside of Israel, the final days of Pesach. Isn't it too late to get downloads of faith and healing? Well, in response to the Premier's announcement today about all these lockdowns, I would like to tell you that there is something you can do, and it is not too late. In fact, the breaking news is on breaking matzah. Although, shatter matzahs, but break matzah as you would in proverbially breaking bread. In other words, the consumption of matzah can necessarily still make a difference. This may be very surprising for some of you. To some degree, the things that I've discovered are surprising to me too. I'm almost ashamed. I wasn't fully aware of this. Let's take it from the top. What I'm going to do is share with you the verses of the Torah that speak about eating matzah. I'm going to share with you the way the Talmud analyzed these very verses, the conclusion that the Talmud comes to. And then I will share with you the words of the Rishonim, the great medieval sages of our nation, and the Poskim, how this filters into Jewish law. And then I will give you a mystical and spiritual Hasidic perspective. And you will be surprised. I think positively. Let's begin the journey. Exodus 12. The Torah talks to us about the festivities that will mark our leaving Mitzrayim behind. The Torah says, Barishon, Barba Asar Yom, in the first month, that of course refers to the month of Nisan, on the 14th day, Bo'erev, that evening, Tochlu Matzot, you should eat matzah. So eat matzah that evening. That's the first night of Pesach. This matzah should be eaten ad yom ha'echad ve'esrim, until the 21st day of the month of Nisan. For a point of reference, today is the 19th day. Tomorrow is Erev Yom Tov. It'll be the 20th day. Shabbat Kodesh is the 21st day of Nisan. It is celebrated as Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the seventh, and in Israel, climax of the Passover holiday. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have an additional day, which is known as Acharon Shel Pesach, and that'll be celebrated on Sunday, the 22nd day of Nisan. That's not biblical. That's of rabbinic ordination. The reason for it is beyond the purview of what I want to share with you today. So the Torah is pretty explicit about this. You eat matzah that night, oy vey, for all those siddurim that happened before night fell. I see it as tragic. People spending time, treasure, effort, really going through the motions to have a Pesach Seder because they have a beautiful neshama and they want to connect to Hashem and to God and His Torah and 3,333 years of Jewish sacred tradition. And they just miss it by a few hours because of ignorance and apathy. Really unfortunate. You can't eat matzah and achieve anything meaningful. You can get indigestion, but you can't do anything meaningful. You can't access the food of faith, as the Zohar calls it, or the asvata, or the wellness, or healing that it brings in its wake, unless it's ba'erif. But the Torah also says that this goes until the 21st, or the seventh day of Pesach. In sharp contrast, when we open the restatement of Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, known as Deuteronomy or Mishnah Torah, the Torah is being restated. In Deuteronomy 16, the Torah says, Sheshet yamim tochal matzot. You'll eat matzah for 6 days. Uvayom hashvi, on the seventh day, Atzeret laHashem Elokecha. There'll be a restraint dedicated to God. Atzeret laHashem Elokecha? Restraint of what? Oh, Rashi tells us restraint of melacha. We don't do work. We have Yom Tov. You know, that's the day like Shabbat, with the exception of an allowance for cooking to celebrate Yom Tov, which takes place. It's a kenufya, Rashi says. Another way of approaching it is a gathering of maichal u'mishta. You restrain or gather the people, rein them in together. Even if you're in the middle of lockdown, hopefully you still have family members who are in your bubble. That's the time to come together, spend time at meals, feasting, celebrating the holiday. It doesn't say anything about eating matzah, though. It actually doesn't. Ubayom hashvi, it says, atzeret la'Hashem Elokecha. And that means, lo ta'aseh milacha. You shouldn't do any work. So in Exodus 12, the Torah says, there's going to be matzah eaten on the first night of Pesach, and that goes ad yom ho'echad ve'esrim, until the seventh. Incidentally, if you go to verse 19 in Exodus 12, it says, shivat yamim se'or lo yematzeh bevateichem. For 7 days, no chametz, no leaven should be in your house. Because anybody who eats machmetzet, that's things that ferment, so to speak, when you mix alkaline or water and the five grains, releasing the chemical reaction of Amy B or Amy C Lacey, known as chametz or fermentation, benichrusu ha-nefesh ahi, pretty serious stuff. That soul is cut off from its people. So the Torah very clearly says, you eat matzah until the end of the seventh day. Torah very clearly seems to juxtapose this to avoiding any chametz. And yet, in Deuteronomy 16, the Torah speaks about eating matzah for 6 days. It doesn't speak about eating matzah on the seventh. It says, V'yom ha-shvi zatzeret, which according to the second approach in Rashi, refers to food, but it's not telling you to eat matzah. It's telling you to have a feast together with your family. This does seem to be a problem. It seems to be what we call in English a contradiction. Now, let me just take a moment to share with you what the Torah says in the book of Numbers, in Parshat Bahalotcha, which is the book of Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 9, where the Torah speaks about the first anniversary of the celebration of Pesach. And the Torah says that the matzah has to be eaten together with the Korban Pesach. It speaks about a Korban Pesach Sheni, the secondary paschal offering for somebody who misses the first. And it says, you eat that offering, you make it in the afternoon on the 14th, and then al matzot umrorim yochluhu. You eat it together with matzah and bitter herbs, maror. So there seems to be some kind of connection between the eating of Korban Pesach That's the meat of the Paschal lamb, and the matzah and the maror. So how do we make sense out of this? Which one is it, so to speak? Is Pesach, matzah and maror, supposed to be eaten together at the night of the Seder? And does matzah have no special application outside of the Pesach Seder? Or is matzah supposed to be eaten for 6 days? Or matzah supposed to be eaten for 7 days? Here we have three biblical verses, all seem to be singing a different song. So let me introduce you to the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, on page Kuf Chaf. The Gemara says, with regard to the notion of eating the Korban Pesach together with matzah and maror, Amar Rava, Rava taught, the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach is applicable bizman hazeh, even in the present age when we didn't have a Korban Pesach, we still had a biblical mitzvah to eat matzah. And this is d'oraisa, by dint of biblical ordination, directly from God. However, Rava taught, umoror, but the bitter herbs eaten in our present galut or exilic time, this is only d'rabbanon. That's of rabbinic ordination. The rabbis ordained, subsequent to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, that we should observe Pesach evening by eating maror, but the Torah never said that. The Torah said you should eat a korban Pesach spiced with bitter herbs. The bitter herbs there serve as a condiment. They are not seen as of intrinsic importance, extrinsic importance alone. They add to the korban Pesach, they complement the meat of the Korban Pesach, they do not serve a function, a purpose on their own. So the Gemara says, well, umay shna, and how is the mitzvah of maror different, in which we say you're exempt, biblically speaking, because there is no Korban Pesach, dichsiv, it says, al matzot umarorim, it says you should eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and with maror. So the Gemara says, it certainly seems, bizman the ikar Pesach, at such time that we're privileged to have the Paschal or Passover offering. So then, there is also yesh moror, there's a time to eat moror. Ubizman the leka Pesach, but when there is no Passover offering, unfortunately, this year yet again, leka moror, then there is no mitzvah to eat maror. So the Gemara comes back and says, matzah nami! The same verse that says you have to eat a korban Pesach together with maror, and that maror has no intrinsic addition to the Seder night, but rather it is only eaten extrinsically as a codicil, a condiment, an add-on to the mitzvah of korban Pesach. The Torah says the same thing about matzah. After all, Haksiv, it says in the verse, I just shared it with you, it's out of Numbers, it speaks about the second Passover offering, but it's implicit that here the second Passover offering is simply replicating what was missed the first time around on the 14th day of Nisan. And it says in that verse, Al Matzot Umarorim Yochlu, you should eat it with matzah and maror together. So the Gemara says, that may be true. However, matzah mihadar hodar bekra. When it comes to matzah, there is a repetition. The Torah speaks to us about matzah at a later point, and tells us, the earlier point actually, and tells us, ba'erev tochlu matzas. So because the Torah speaks about matzah not once, but twice, and because the Torah, when it speaks about matzah the second time, is not discussing the Korban Pesach at all. It's only discussing the consumption, the eating of matzah, and it says, ba'erev, in that evening, tochlu matzos, from this we understand that it is a mitzvah. Now the Gemara records a dispute that Rava had together with Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov maintained that both matzah and moror are only of rabbinic ordination. They're only applicable, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, at such time when there is a korban Pesach that's being enjoyed, that's being fulfilled and observed. So we have these two opinions in the Gemara. The Gemara, on page Kuf Chaf, on side 120, side A, just before the Mishnah, the Gemara comes along and says, Tanya Kava Seder Rava. After going back and forth, and there's a dialogue between Rava and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, looking at different verses, each one has rhyme and reason to back up their position, but the Gemara concludes that in the end, we did learn along the lines of Rava's teaching in a Braisa. A Braisa is something that's of the genre of the Mishnah, but for whatever reason was not actually included into the text, the actual syntax of the six orders of Mishnayot. But nonetheless, the Braisa is quoted and oftentimes used to demonstrate the veracity of a statement which is made in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, we learned along the lines of Rava's approach in an absolute fashion. And this is what the Braisa says, quoting the verse in Devarim Tezai in Deuteronomy 16, Sheishet yomim tochal matzot, 6 days you eat matzah. Ubayom hashvi, on the seventh day, atzeret lahashem elokecha. There's a restraint order by God, or in God's honor. We honor Hashem by observing His festivals. And it says don't do any work, but doesn't say anything about eating matzah. It says matzah you eat for 6 days. On the seventh, you'll restrain yourself or gather everybody together. Now this teaches us, it's pretty clear, according to the Braisa, that there is no mitzvah, no incumbent responsibility, no obligation upon us to eat matzah on the seventh day of Pesach. It's like pretty clear, because if the Torah wanted you to eat matzah on the seventh day of Pesach, it shouldn't have said, for 6 days you eat matzah, and on the seventh you have restraint. Don't do work, gather the family together. It should have said, for 6, 7 days you eat matzah, and on the seventh you have a day of Yom Tov. So the Braisa reasons, Ma Shvi Rishut, just as the seventh day, it's permissible, elective if you will, do as you please, but it is not obligatory, Af Sheshet Yamim. So it is also, not only is the seventh day exempt, but in fact, all 6 days are but elective. So the Gemara says, my taima, what is the reason that we feel obligated to see the seventh day as instructive for the other days that precede it, all the days of Passover? And so the Gemara introduces us to one of the 13 hermeneutical principles through which we're able to derive what we are supposed to do by analyzing the Bible properly, according to its sacred principles. One of those 13 principles is that when you have Dover Shahoyo Bechlol, when you have a statement, an all-encompassing statement, that's what a klal is. What was the all-encompassing statement? It's a statement that we kind of touched on before, but it's even more clearly spelled out when we go to Exodus 13. In Exodus 12, it says, you start eating matzah that night, you finish at the end of the 21st day. But then if you go forward to Exodus 13, verse 6, the Torah goes on to say, in very, very clear fashion, Torah speaks about God bringing you to the land of Israel, and then you'll have to observe a holiday called Pesach. And what will that look like? Matzot ye'ochel et eight shivat hayamim. The Torah reiterates what it said earlier in chapter 12, but here it's even more explicit. Here it says clearly, you'll eat matzah for 7 days, and you won't find any chametz on your property or premises. So that's what we call a klal. An all-encompassing statement, a seven-day swearing off of chametz and eating of matzah. Now, after making a statement that for 7 days we eat matzah, we have something which is yotza min haklal. One of those 7 days seems to have been taken out of the plurality of the rule. It doesn't seem to be included in that week. 6 days eat matzah. On the seventh day, that's a time for restraint. That's a time to gather the family. No matzah mentioned. So if you have something which was part of a general rule, and then it's taken out of circulation, it's separated from that generality, it comes l'lamed. It comes to teach you something. Now, the question is it teaching me about the seventh day alone, or is it teaching me about all of the days? So the Gemara says, Loi l'lamed al atzma yotza. If one day is separated, it's not coming to be instructive about that day alone. Elo l'lamed al haklal kula yotza. It actually was instructive for the entire set of days being discussed. The Torah here said, for 7 days you eat matzah. The Torah then indicates that it's not a mitzvah to eat matzah on the seventh day. Well, if it isn't a mitzvah to eat matzah on the seventh day, it doesn't just mean that the seventh day is exempt, but rather it doesn't instruct with regard to itself. It brings guidance and instruction with regard to all of the days. 7 days eat matzah. The seventh, you don't have to eat matzah, tells you that you don't have to eat matzah on any of those days. So the Brice is telling us that there isn't a mitzvah to eat matzah, meaning we're not under responsibility. It isn't a sacred or official mandate that we eat matzah. We're not commanded to do this on any of the 7 days. Well, in that case, it seems that there is no mitzvah to eat matzah. It's just a nice thing to do. So the Braiser comes back and says, Yochel, you might think, Af Laila HaRishon, and the first night, two is exempted. That two is reshus, that two is elective. Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk comes along and says to me, oh, no, no, on that first night, you must eat matzah. Al matzah tomerorim yochlu, you have to eat matzah and moror together with the Korban Pesach. Now, if it wasn't a mitzvah, it wouldn't say, Al matzah tomerorim yochlu, you must do it this way. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's a mitzvah. It's incumbent, it's mandatory to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. Ein li'elo bizman shebeis hamigdash kayom. This only is instructive for the time in which the Beis HaMikdash stands, meaning we have a Korban Pesach. Bizman she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayom. At a time such as ours, when there is no Beit HaMikdash, and as such, no Korban Pesach, minayin, how do we know, is a mitzvah to eat matzah? And the Braisa finishes Talmud Loimar, another verse, going back to Exodus 12, verse 18, it says, Be'erev toichlu matzahs, in the evening you eat matzah. So, hakosuv kevo'oi choyva. With this, the scripture has a fixed or attached obligation. Now, I hope you were able to follow the give and take of the Talmud, but if you weren't, let's just say this. By carefully and properly examining these verses, we come to the conclusion that on the first night outside of Israel, both nights, on the night of Pesach, the consumption of matzah is obligatory. On the days that follow, all the days of Pesach, eating matzah isn't necessary. You may, but you don't have to. Let me share with you the words of Rashi's commentary. He says, what is the meaning of rishut? Imrotza le'echol basar below lechem. If you want to have meat, but you don't want it sandwiched by matzah, that's fine. He says, in fact, if you want to fast, knock yourself out. Meaning you don't have to eat matzah. Rashbam says something very similar. Rashbam, in his commentary in the Gemara here, Mesechet Psachim, page 120 says, it says, Uvayom HaShvi Atzeret. It says, on the seventh day, there's a restraint. V'lo ksiv, it does not say, Tochal matzah, or eat matzah. So it's taken out of the rule. Hotziyom min haklal. And therefore, Af sheshet yomim reshut, all 6 days are permissible, which means im rotza lecho basar, you want to eat meat, that's fine. Belay lechem, without having any bread, matzah, okay, that's fine. Harashus biyodai, you may do so. Now let me share with you the words of Rashi in Masechet Beitza. In Masechet Beitza, on page 21, Rashi speaks, the Gemara speaks about something called Isata Klovim. Isata Klovim sounds like a dog's breakfast. It is. It is a dog's breakfast. You see, the shepherds who would have dogs that would help them to shepherd the sheep. Shepherds still use dogs to shepherd the sheep. They'd bring along these biscuits to feed the dogs. It was maybe a rough, kind of undeveloped form of bread. It wasn't what we would call refined bread. Yet, the Gemara tells us, Isat Klovim, literally the dough, the dog's dough, Bizman Shaharoim Ochlim, if it's something that the shepherds nibble on when they're hungry, then it's obligated in a whole slew of mitzvot, including the separation of dough called challah. You can do a rabbinic mitzvah in which people are united by a particular foodstuff called eruv, umishtatfin, another form of that. You can make a bracha. In fact, you have to make a bracha on it. You can even do birchat hamazon, the grace after meals, in a group, which is called zimun. You can bake it on Yom Tov. Now, you can't bake on Yom Tov for the dogs, unless people are going to eat it too. And finally, va'adam yotze ba yedei chovato bepesach. You can have dog's matzah. How do you like that? Dog's matzah works too, and you can fulfill your obligation on Pesach. Which obligation on Pesach? Says Rashi, and I'm quoting, Masechet Beitza, Daf Chaf Aleph, page 21, side A, right in the middle. Yechovato bePesach, Rashi says, Laila harishon shel Pesach. The obligation of matzah is the first night of Pesach. Shehu mitzvah le'echol matzah on that first night of Pesach. It is a mitzvah to eat matzah, d'chsiv bo'erev tochlu matzot. It says, in the evening you should eat matzah. V'sha'or hayomim, and the rest of the days, imratz alechol sha'or dvarim, if you want to eat whatever it might be, beloy lechem, without bread, which means matzah, harashut biyado, that's fine. You can eat potatoes, bananas, kiwis. You can have cottage cheese. I don't care what you eat. You can have roast beef. You don't have to eat matzah. How do you like that? Very, very clear. No mitzvah to eat matzah after the Seder night. Rambam, the great Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon HaSfaradi, who codified the entirety of the Torah in the prose of Halacha, states very clearly, in the laws of chametz and matzah. And I quote now, sixth chapter, opening of the sixth chapter. Mitzvat asei min haTorah le'echol matzah b'leil chamishasar. It is a biblical mitzvah to eat matzah on the eve of the 15th. Shenemar, for it is stated, Exodus 12, verse 18, be'erev tochlu matzot. And the Rambam adds two words, b'chol makom, anywhere. You can't eat a Korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. In these two words, the Rambam is telling us, even if you're not in Jerusalem, when the Beit HaMikdash is standing. Other people might be eating the Korban Pesach, but you're stuck in Rome. Well, you still have to eat matzah. U'b'chol zman, and in every time, whether it's a time when we have the privilege of the Beit HaMikdash and Hashem's presence amongst us or not, we still have the obligation as Torah Jews. Every one of us has an obligation, from Hashem's Torah perspective, to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Anywhere, at any time. Always applicable. Well, doesn't the Torah seem to link the mitzvah of eating matzah with the mitzvah of consuming the meat of the Paschal offering? Rambam deflects that question. He says, V'leitolo achila zu b'korban Pesach. He does not, the Torah does not link, or if you will, hinge this mitzvah on the Korban Pesach. Elo zu mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Rather, it is understood to be a mitzvah unto itself. Just as we read from the Gemara, the opinion of Rava, which is ratified by the the Braisa. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, Rabbeinu Hananel, a very early Rishon, says, V'kaimalon, we actually in Halacha follow through, Kirova, the Matzah, the Raisa, Umorah, Bezman, Hazed, Rabbanan. This is the Halacha, Rabbeinu Hananel tells us. What we read in the Gemara is actually binding. The Gemara doesn't have an open-ended discussion. In conclusion, the Gemara says, Rav is right. Mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah on the night of the Pesach, not a mitzvah from the Torah to eat morah on the night of Pesach. Rambam says that this mitzvah applies all night. Now that's really interesting because it's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, and yet our sages told us it has to be eaten before midnight. So Rabbeinu Manoach says, that's because the eating of the Korban Pesach, if you eat the Korban Pesach when day breaks, you violate a very grave sin in the Torah. And you have something called a chiyuv karis. It's not a pleasant thing. That comes along as a side effect. So he says, that's why our sages were so careful. They don't want you to, so to speak, live on the edge. But what happens if you eat matzah? You're still munching on your matzah and day is broken. All right. No sin, no great loss. So the Rabbeinu Manoach says, there is a special fence created by the sages for the eating of Korban Pesach that it expires at midnight, hours before day breaks, but not for matzah. Now, how about the rest of the days? How about the rest of Passover? How about today? Says the Rambam, Aval b'shar haregel, on the rest of the Yom Tov, achilas matzah reshut. You have permission to eat matzah. It's your choice. Rotza! Ochel matzah, you want to eat matzah? Knock yourself out, eat matzah. Ratza, you want ochel orez, a dochan, a kloyes. You can have rice. Sephardic Jews have rice. You can have millet. You can have legumes. Or perot, you can have fruits. Aval b'leil chamisha osar bilvad. The Rambam adds the word idleil, night of chamisha osar. Only on the night of Pesach. Only. Singular. There is chovah. And how much matzah should you eat? Once you eat what is called the proverbial size of an olive bulk, basically an ounce, you have fulfilled your obligation. So Rambam's very clear. He's very clear in telling us that this mitzvah applies specifically on the night of Pesach. So I've shared the verses with you. I've shown you how the Talmud analyzes those verses. Rabbeinu Hananel says what the Talmud says is binding. And I gave you both Rashi's commentary here in a Masechet Be'ah, and I shared with you the words of the Rambam. Let's see how this filters through into the realm or world of Halacha. So, if we are to go to the Tur, the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, it's actually written in the style or syntax, the same number of chapters and the same system, not the same words at all, of course, and it is a very different syntax to be precise. But the same chapters, same structure. So in the laws of Pesach, which is in the Orach Chaim, the way of life section of this of these codes, chapter 475, near the end, the Torah says, in halachic prose, Ve'ein chiyuv achilat matzah ela b'leil rishon. There is no obligation, ein chiyuv. Zero obligation to eat matzah, save the first night. Avol mikan be'elech, from that first night onwards, all the days of Pesach and the subsequent nights in Israel, outside of Israel, have a rabbinic mitzvah to eat matzah on the second night. But subsequent to the first night of Pesach, from a biblical perspective, or from a rabbinic perspective, outside of those two nights, im yirtzelech al davar acher, if you wish to eat something else, harashut biado, there's full permission. You're under no obligation whatsoever. Rak shelo yochel chametz. What the Torah is telling you, when it says eat matzah for 6 days or 7 days eat matzah, what the Torah is telling you, in a backhanded way, is don't eat chametz. Eat matzah is more like don't eat chametz. It's just like when it comes to kosher meat. The Torah is really telling you, eat only kosher meat. What if I were to be vegan? Okay, be vegan. You don't have to eat meat, but you have to eat kosher meat. You don't have to have bread. But if you're having bread, meaning you're using something which is grain-based, it has to be matzah. Va'afilu b'leil rishon yotze b'kezayit. Even on the first night, we fulfill our obligation with but a kezayit. And the Bet Yosef, in his commentary in the Torah, says, Poshut, this is abundantly obvious. B'sof Masechet Pesachim, at the end of Tractate Pesachim, page 120, side A on the bottom, as I shared with you. Poshut, he says, it's not even a question. This is obvious, beyond any kind of question. Let's take a look and see how this filters through into the code of Jewish law, into the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law written by Rabbeinu Yosef Karo, known as the Mechaber, the redactor or codifier of Jewish law. The Mechaber says, in the seventh subsection of chapter 475, Siman Tov Ayin Hey, the Mechaber says, not what you should do, but he makes a matter-of-fact statement about what obligation does not exist. Ein chiyuv achilat matzah, there is zero obligation to eat matzah, ela belaila harishon bilvad. Only on the first night. So you're going to say, well, so what happens if I didn't eat matzah on the first night? Can I eat some matzah today? It's still Passover, right? Still get a mitzvah. No. The Taz, Magen David, says, what is the meaning when he says, Ein chiyuv? What is that meaning? He says, I want you to know that you should have to understand this, that we don't say that kivan shahazman adayin hu, since it's still Pesach, no such thing. He says, v'lo havet tashlumen. You can't make up for what you missed on the first night. If you didn't eat matzah on the Seder, you're out of luck. Can't make up for that mitzvah. Can't make up for it. The Chok Yaakov, we're talking now about a 17th century commentator on the Shulchan Aruch. The Chok Yaakov says that you must understand that although some maintain, which this, of course, is the Magen Avraham, that you still have to eat matzah every day because you have to eat Seudat Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham says, it's not a contradiction, you can eat matzah which is made with other additives, like matzah that has oil mixed into it, or fruit juice. That doesn't really work for Ashkenazim, but matzah ashira, he says. That would work. That's what the Bet Yosef means to say here, the Mechaber means to say here. The Chok Yaakov says, it's true that the Magen Avraham writes that in the name of the Ran. He says, you should know that there are many others like the Trumat HaDeshen. These are 15th century sages. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Godol, one of the Bali HaTosfos. The Ur Zeruah, the great halachists of the Germanic provinces. He says, they believe the Eino Mechuyiv Lechol Paspi Yom Tov. You don't have to eat bread on Yom Tov. You don't have to. And he says, the Tosfos and Maseches Sukkah says it too. So the Chok Yaakov says, you don't have to eat matzah. There's not even an obligation of eating bread, he says. No obligation. Only on the first night. Then the Chok Yaakov says this. V'kosav ha-kolboy, the kolboy, who is a 16th century Rishon, says in Siman Nun, in his halachic compilation, in the 50th chapter, Mehaitayim e'mevorchen alachilas matzah rak b'leilot rishonot. We only make a bracha, asher kedishanu, he has commanded us to eat matzah on the nights of the Seder. Mikan v'ilich rishus. And he says, the fact that the Torah says that you have to eat matzah afterwards is only to tell you not to eat chametz, like the Torah telling you to eat kosher meat, which means to say don't eat non-kosher meat. And you don't make a bracha al achilat basar tahor on eating kosher meat. And there's no mitzvah here. This should not be compared, says the Chok Yaakov, to the mitzvah of the sukkah. The truth is that the first night of Sukkot, it is obligatory to eat in the sukkah. On the subsequent days of Sukkot, it is not obligatory to have a meal in the sukkah. And at the same time, we still say that the rest of the days of achilat in the sukkah is called rishut. If you want to eat in the sukkah, go right ahead. Nonetheless, when you actually sit in the sukkah, you are going to be fulfilling a mitzvah. And that's why when you sit in the sukkah, spend time in the sukkah, eat in the sukkah, on any of the days of Sukkot, you make a bracha, leishev basukkah, to spend time in the sukkah. However, he says, im lo achal matzah b'leila ha-pesach, you didn't eat matzah on the night of Pesach, ein lo tashlumin. You can't make up for that. Bread of faith, blessings of healing, seems you missed it. Only on the night of the Seder. The Levush, 17th century codification of Halacha, the Levush says, bases his system also on the Tours system. In the end of chapter 475, he goes through the details, really quite remarkably, much more so than any of the other codifiers, spelling it out for you, following the rhyme and reason of the Talmud itself. Ein chiyuv achilas matzah, there is no obligation, only b'layla harishon bilvad, only on the first night, that's the Rambam's language. As it says, the eve of the 14th week matzah. Mikan v'elech, from here onward, he says, im yirtze lechel dover achar, if you want to eat anything else, loy matzah, not matzah, reshus b'yode. Main thing is just don't eat chametz, that's all. He says, chametz, that's prohibited all 7 days. That's why it says, shivat yomim sa'or lo yomotzi bivatechem, for 7 days, you can't find any chametz in your house. In the same verse that it talks about eating matzah for 7 days. Even though he says that 7 days you should eat matzah in the beginning of that verse, our rabbi is learnt, and here he alludes to the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, which I shared with you on page 120, from the 13 hermeneutical principles of the Torah, that ein ha-pasuk hazeh l'chova, that verse does not come to indicate obligation or responsibility. And we know this, he goes through the details, and all the verses which I explained to you, he goes through the minutia, the details, explain and spells it out for you, how the Torah calls it an atzeret, and the Torah says you don't have to eat matzah on the seventh day, and that is taken out of the plurality of 7 days in order to indicate that on all of the 7 days, there is in fact no obligation. Mashvi'i reshut, the same thing is true with all other days. It's elective, you may eat matzah, you don't have to eat matzah. There's no mitzvah attached to it. Lo nishar chova, it is only obligatory, a commandment, which is really the organic translation of a mitzvah, a commandment, not a good deed. Don't confuse the two. Good deeds don't need any kind of faith or belief in God. A good deed doesn't have to have a commander. I can decide I want to do a good deed. A mitzvah is not what I decide to do. A mitzvah is what I've been instructed to do by the creator of heaven and earth. And so, chova, obligation, goes hand in hand with the notion of mitzvah. The mitzvah obligation is only applicable on the first night, as it says, be'erev tochlu matzos. And don't think that that also is elective, should you want to. Can't say that. Because the verse that says, be'erev tochlu, what did it come for? And this isn't spelled out anywhere else other than the Levush. He says, so if the first night is also elective, why does it say eat matzah on the first night? In the Braisa, the emphasis was, because it says it, you have to eat matzah with matzah and mur. The Levush shines a new light here. He introduces us to yet another part of the rationale, and he says, why would the Torah say you have to eat matzah? Va'oid, furthermore, he says, le'nemer b'shnei k'suvim halalu, on these two psukim, it doesn't say anything, so to speak, about nights. It only talks about days. Yamim lo leilot. The Torah never says in the plurality for 7 nights. It says 7 days. And then there's a pasuk that speaks about a day, separating the day from the general approach of all the days, the plurality of days. But nowhere does the Torah say night in a pluralistic fashion and then separate the night. Im kein, halayla harishon me'olam lo hayta tocha klal. That first night was never included in the plurality statement. It was never in the general rule. Ela mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's a mitzvah unto itself. And this is something which remains obligatory on the first night, or outside of Eretz Yisrael, on both Seder nights. And even on the first night, he says, you have to eat a kezayit, and the Levush adds, quoting from other sources in the Gemara, that we have a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. We have an oral tradition that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Mount Sinai. Kol ha'achilot, whenever the Torah refers to a consumption, as in a mitzvah eating activity, it's shiurun kezayit. It always refers to a kezayit. So what are you going to do on the night of Pesach? I mean, just an ounce of matzah might not be enough to fill you up. No problem, says the Levush. Yochel Amal is crazy. You can fill your belly. Midvarim achedim. Rak. Shaloi yiyeh chametz. You must eat an ounce of matzah. And you can eat whatever you want after that. It's very clear. So from a perspective of what we're going to call nigla, from the exoteric perspective on Torah, there is no mitzvah of matzah and nothing to be achieved when you eat matzah today. That's what the surface or the body of Torah indicates. However, my dear friends, when we look at nishmata d'oraita, when we look at the soul of Torah, when we look at pnimiyuta Torah, a very, very different picture begins to emerge. Let me begin this fascinating new perspective with a maimer authored by the second Rebbe of Chabad. Second Chabad Rebbe, known in the vernacular for Hasidim as the Mittele Rebbe, the eldest son of the Baal HaTanya Rebbe Shneur Zalman, Rebbe Dovber, authored a book which is called Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, and it has different proverbial gates. There's something called Shar HaEmuna, something called the Gate of Faith. And, not surprisingly, matzah gets billing when we talk about faith. And so the Mittele Rebbe says, in Shar HaEmuna, I'm reading from excerpted pieces from page 76, or Lamed Ches Amud Beis, onto page Lamed Tes, onto page 78, in case you want to go and take a look inside. Mittele Rebbe says that you must understand achilat matzah b'leil ha'alef, the Pesach, consuming matzah on the first night of Pesach, shehu chova, which this is obligatory. So he says, this is ikar ha'mitzvah b'matzah zu, the primary thrust or spiritual message of this mitzvah is that it is nikra, it is called in the Zohar, michla d'mehemenuta, food of faith. What does that mean, food of faith? The Mittele Rebbe explains that eating matzah serves lehoisif koyach ho'emuna b'kol echad v'echad miYisrael. Eating matzah on the night of Pesach necessarily fortifies, bolsters, enhances, upgrades the faith for every single member of Am Yisrael, learned and ignorant, affiliated or not, observant, proverbially speaking, or maybe amiss. If you eat matzah on the night of Pesach, your faith will be enhanced. It will be upgraded. It'll be added to. And it comes, mishorshoi b'mahusi v'atzmusei. Faith, from a Torah perspective, is an intrinsic part of who we are. It's in our soul to believe, as it explains in Hasidus, because there's a part of our soul that actually sees the truth, or because our soul is a piece of God. It's not something that our deep subconsciousness is aware of or sees. It's who we are. We are a piece of God. And because we are, neshama is a piece of God, we naturally somehow feel, see, know, connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seeing is believing is one of the most foolish things I've ever heard in my life. Why would seeing be believing? Why can't seeing be seeing? You see with your eyes. You can't see with your ears. You hear with your ears. It's a different faculty. It's a different medium. You taste with your tongue. You smell with your nose. You touch or feel with your hands. You believe with your soul. Just as eyes see and ears hear, just as tongues taste and noses smell, hands touch, neshamas believe. So it can be spoken of as somehow a knowledge, an intrinsic knowledge, but it really isn't something that's cerebral per se. You can speak of it as a feeling, but it isn't really part of our emotions per se. You can speak of feeling it, but you certainly can't touch it. It can be as real to you as the food you taste, but you can't really ingest or digest it per se. It's intrinsic. It's who you are. And that essence of who you are is uplifted and further developed when you eat matzah. The Mittler goes on to say, Yesh baza atzme inyan chayva. This is something which is obligatory. This is something that which we all need to do. Hashem says to you, please get the new upgrade. I mean, imagine you're not getting the upgrades when the iOS releases the new upgrades, and all of a sudden you're going to have viruses attacking your operating system and the phone isn't working. Of course not. You need to get the patches. You need to get the upgrades. The world is changing. You need the new software or soulware. You download that soulware. You get online when you eat matzah. And it's mandatory. The operating system can't work well otherwise. A Jew doesn't eat matzah on the night of Pesach is missing a piece of his neshama all year long. Serious business. The Mittler Rebbe talks about the idea, and that's because we left Egypt in great haste. And the great haste of our having left Egypt is measured by the amount of time it takes for chametz to rise or things to ferment, which is only 18 minutes. And he says that idea of leaving the land of Egypt behind in great haste, not knowing where our next meal would come from, was the greatest act of faith. And that's why the Torah ordains that through the consumption of matzah, our faith is nourished and, yes, upgraded on an annual basis. This idea is talked about at great length in the writings of the Abarbanel, earlier in the Rambam or Nevuchim. I've actually recorded classes on this, and I encourage you, if you're having difficulty swallowing what I'm saying right now as to why matzah necessarily nourishes the faith, to go back and watch those classes, and I've included fascinating memorim of the Alter Rebbe as well on this. But building on all that knowledge, it should be easy for us to understand or digest this idea that when we eat this matzah, which is obligatory, on that night in which we left Mitzrayim, in which the Haggadah says, Yotzo mi'afelo la'argadah, we went out of darkness into great light, so that we would not become swallowed by the, so to speak, irretrievable abyss, the quicksand of Klipa, which we were taken out of, literally, pulled out for just in the nick of time, so that we don't have a non-Jewish attitude. The non-Jewish, the non-Torah attitude, says the Mittler Rebbe, is when you see God as a force or power, but you reckon with other forces or powers as well. God is the God of all gods. He's the ultimate decider, but you can get your blessings of nourishment, of health, of goodness from various sources, only just God is the boss in the end. He's the God of all gods. Elikada elikaya, it's proverbially called. That's the non-Jewish, that is to say, non-Torah perspective. But the Torah perspective is that we receive everything from Hashem himself directly. The emuna is part of mahusei v'atzmusei. It's part of who you are. It is ikar nekudat yahadutai. It is the pinnacle, the essence, the nuclear core of your being. It's the very amino acids of your neshama. That's faith. Faith in Hashem, proper faith in Hashem. And that took place. We were, if you will, brought into this or given this on the night we left Mitzrayim. And so each and every single year on that night, by eating matzah, we are able to find our faith fortified. Our faith is uplifted. And that's what matzah represents. And therefore, it is obligatory. It is chovah, he says. It's a mitzvah to bring ourselves into the light. It's a mitzvah to get online, plug ourselves in, fortify our faith, so we have the ability to contend with the spiritual challenges that have come our way this year, and it's called Michla de Mehemenusa. The Mitzvah Rebbe goes on in great detail to explain how going out of Mitzrayim represents the notion of pulling oneself out of evil, which is an ongoing battle. And that's something that we have to hastily pull away from. When sin beckons, don't entertain it or flirt with it. Flee from it. Run away. And he says, this is what the mitzvah of eating matzah is about. It's obligatory. Hainu, he says, achzeu rak b'leil aleph. It's only on the first night of Pesach. At the time when Hashem revealed himself to us, that's when the eating of matzah is obligatory. Avol, b'zayin hayomim, on the 7 days of Pesach, achilas matzah reshus. Eating matzah is an elective. Lo chova, it's not a mitzvah. The Mitzvah Rebbe begins to say, though, although it's not a mitzvah, he says you have to know that on the 7th day of Pesach, there was also a great revelation. B'kriyas Yamsuf was a very lofty radiance, mebechinas go'ego, from the highest of levels. And he says, we learn that it's not obligatory to eat matzah from the 7th day. The first night of Pesach is when Hashem revealed himself to us. But didn't he reveal himself in an extraordinary fashion on the 7th day at Kriyat Yam Suf as well? In a way which is beyond reach. And he metaphorizes with the Zoharic idea that the 50th year of Jubilee can't be counted. You can count 7 Shemitot, you count 49 years, but the 50th represents something that comes from beyond. The Mitzvah Rebbe says that is precisely what's being referred to when we say that eating matzah on the 7th, and by extension by all the days of Pesach, it's not obligatory, meaning it's not something which is mandated in our Avodat Hashem. However, although we are mandated to observe Hashem's mitzvahs, to stay away from evil, it doesn't mean we can't achieve more. And he goes on to explain that if a person inspires himself, that if one reaches beyond, one can achieve transcendence of beyond what you're actually obligated to do. You can draw closer to Hashem more so than you're technically required to. And that, says the Mitzvah Rebbe, is the idea of consuming matzah on the subsequent days of Pesach. It's not mandatory. It's not obligatory. You can choose to. But doing so, he says, will give you access to a higher or deeper level of holiness. Now, the halacha doesn't deal with higher levels of holiness. The body of Torah deals with the technical, functional responsibility we have. The Zohar, Kabbalah, and of course, Teiros Chassidus, which focuses on the soul of Torah, deals not only with the law, but also with the spirit. We're hearing something very new. We're hearing that eating matzah, whilst not obligatory, can make a difference. Let me share with you the words of his successor, the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek, our Rebbe's namesake, the third Rebbe of the Chabad dynasty. In his explanations on the Zohar and Parshas Chayesora, the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek says this: at the splitting of the reeds at Kriyas Yamsuf, there was drawn forth a level which is beyond what we are able to access. In the language of the Kabbalists, we, humanity, stir. We reach out to God. This is called itaruto dilatato. When we reach out to God, God in turn responds to us. We make an overture. We stimulate or stir the divine consciousness or psyche. Our mitzvah is called isarusa dilatato, an awakening from below, which elicits a response or proverbially awakening from on high. Says the Tzemach Tzedek, Kriyat Yamsuf represented such a lofty, powerful and profound profusion of holiness that it's not within the purview of humanity to be able to, if you will, stimulate or draw this into our lives. And that's why he says, when it came to Kriyat Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop praying. Hashem Yilochim Lochem. this is in God's hands. Va'atem, and you, tacharishun. Be silent. It doesn't mean praying is not a good idea. It just means sometimes we are about to receive something that's far beyond anything our prayers can actually bring forth or access. The Tzemach Tzedek says, that's where the Torah comes along and teaches you that matzah, the consumption of matzah, is not obligatory on Pesach, even though it says, Sheshet Yamim Tocha Matzot. The Torah comes along and says, on the seventh day it's Reshut. If the seventh day was taken out of the plurality of days and not included in the general rule, then it's indicative or instructive for all of the other days. Why is that? He says, because matzah of chova, obligatory matzah, is matzah that brings forth what we would call in the language of Kabbalah, ha'oras abba, the divine intellect. As it says, bavurza asa Hashem li, Hashem did this for me. In other words, by virtue of the matzah. You eat matzah and you, God gives you a new level of clarity. Chachma isn't really what we call understanding, that's bina. Chachma means when the lights go on. It's, you know, you have this epiphany, this clarity. That's chachma. We have clarity about our faith by virtue of the matzah we eat on the night of Pesach. And that's ba'avur, because we eat the matzah. Masha'enkein ha'amshocha, but the profusion of holiness, of soul power that's brought forth on the seventh day of Pesach comes bebechinas atika, which is Kabbalistic jargon for what represents higher than the mind, intellect, or even the clarity of vision. It's something that comes from the very core essence of one's being. Meaning it comes from the core essence of the divine being and is beyond what we are able to, if you will, create vehicle or convention for. And that's why the Torah chooses to reveal it specifically with regard to the seventh day, because the seventh day represents that leap beyond. Continuing in this, in the Biuri HaZoyer, this is volume one, by the way, of the Tzemach Tzedek's Biuri HaZoyer, and now on page Tzadik Vav, the Tzemach Tzedek goes on to say that although this matzah is not obligatory, it doesn't mean it's not effective. He says, the matzah of chova, the matzah which is obligatory, that represents the level of clarity. Clarity means malchus da'aba. But he says, it's muvan, it's understood. The gam reshut yesh bo ktzat mitzvah. I never saw words like this before. It seems to me that Tzemach Tzedek is the first one ever to say this. The Tzemach Tzedek says, although it is permissible, there still remains an element of mitzvah attached to it. Although we can't bring it forth on our own, our actions aren't going to bring this forth. But your efforts make a difference. It makes a difference. You prod things along. And that's why it says, it's reshus. But just because it's reshus doesn't mean you should set it aside. The Tzemach Tzedek says, do you know that the prayers in the morning, shacharit is chova, is obligatory. The prayer of mincha, the afternoon prayer, is obligatory. The evening prayer, according to one opinion and school of thought, is reshut. It's elective. You can or cannot. But even according to the opinion that evening services, that when night falls and you have to pray and express your faith, is not obligatory, ein levatlo b'chdi, you don't just cast it aside. Furthermore, even according to the opinion that the evening service is elective, if you missed to praying arvit, you recite shacharit twice, because you can always make up in the immediate next prayer by reciting an extra Shmoneh Esrei. And so the Tzemach Tzedek says this huge chiddush, this huge novelty. Just as Ma'ariv as evening services, which according to one school of Talmudic thought is only a reshut, and yet, afal pikin nonetheless, there's somewhat of a mitzvah element. The Tzemach Tzedek says, yesh leimar, we could suggest. Tzemach Tzedek is telling us an enormous chiddush, a real novelty. He's saying the same thing could be applied to the achila of matzah all seven. That even though the matzah, the eating of matzah on the subsequent days of Pesach is something which can't really reach or bring forth the level of holiness as matzah on the first night can, and therefore something we must do. He says, nonetheless, tov yotela ochla, it's better to eat matzah than eating something else. He says, eat matzah if you can. Because by eating matzah all 6 days, or on the seventh day, he says, we are able to bring forth a level of holiness, or at least participate in the bringing forth of a level of holiness that's actually beyond our purview and beyond our natural orbit. Later on, in a separate section of this manuscript, the Tzemach Tzedek says that through matzah, we bring the proverbial or the holy light into the vessel. He says that's obligatory. It's obligatory. But he says then there is a higher level of holiness, which is not obligatory. If you prepare a vessel, though, it won't necessarily bring the light forth, but it will house the light or energy nonetheless. And he says this is similar to the notion of the head tefillin, which we know represent a higher energy than the hand tefillin. But we don't recite a bracha over the head tefillin. Bracha is related to hamshacha, to actualization. In other words, the hand tefillin you must tie upon your head. The head tefillin come, if you will, in a natural or almost automatic fashion. The Tzemach Tzedek likens this to the notion of the forgiveness that Hashem gives us on Yom Kippur, which is not because we do tshuva, but he says, nonetheless, if a person reaches out to Hashem on Yom Kippur, it gets you to a higher and a better place on Yom Kippur. So too, eating matzah isn't obligatory, but it's powerful. And if it can bring an added measure of clarity and faith, it must also bring us an added blessing of healing and health. It seems abundantly clear to me. Let me share with you the words of one of the last Pesach Maimorim that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, ever delivered. This is in the year 1918, as the world is reeling from the Spanish flu, the last pandemic. The Rebbe Rashab speaks in a Maimer, a second, like an add-on to a Maimer of Pesach of that year. He says, doesn't that seem strange to you? He says, isn't it odd? Since the 6 days of Pesach are reshut, so why would the Torah say eat matzah for 6 days? So it shouldn't have written it at all. And from the fact that we are told, achilas matzah b'ashisha yomim, mashma, this intimates, shemikol mokim tzorech liyes achilas matzah b'hem. It seems, according to the Rebbe Rashab, that there should be consumption of matzah. But he says, if there should be consumption of matzah, then echu reshus, how is it an elective? Seems to be, he says, a bit of a contradiction here. So the Rebbe Rashab explains, the idea of reshut means that which comes to us from on high without us necessarily bringing it forth. In the language of Hasidus and Kabbalah, itaruta de le'ela, an awakening from on high, shalo, not al yaday, itaruta de le'tata, not through the awakening below. And he explains the concept of chova in fascinating terms. He says, chova means that when you are obligated, it's as if God has entered into contract with you. If you're obligated, proverbially speaking, God has obligated himself too. He says, mitzvahs that are obligatory mean if you do this, you're guaranteed that it's necessarily going to bring forth that level of blessing from Hashem. Chova means, me'acha shaba yedei avedas ha'adam, since it comes through the efforts of people, it's obligatory, so to speak. It's mandatory that the mitzvah bring forth the holiness. That which comes not by dint or virtue of our efforts can only be called reshut. It can only be called elective. It's not going to come through our avada, through our efforts. But he says the same thing applies on high. It's kaviyachal, as if God says, I'm obligated. Hashem says, I have bound myself to you. I have made you a promise and a guarantee. You do your part, I'll respond. It's as if when God obligates us to do a mitzvah, it's as if he obligates us to respond. He obligates himself, pardon me, to respond. It's a given that when you do your mitzvah, yumshach hashpo mamayla, that the profusion will come from on high. But he says that which is beyond our reach never has a guarantee attached to it. That's the idea of Rishut, he says. It comes from the essence of divinity. In the language of Chassidus, Atzmus. Atzmus represents a level of divinity which we can't speak about because it's like the deep subconsciousness that we have no way of plumbing or understanding. The essence of God. The essence of God is Eini Mukhra Chas V'Shalom B'Giluim, doesn't have to express itself per se. It's intrinsic, it's essential. And he says that's why it's called elective, because our actions don't necessarily bring forth the gift or profusion of holiness. And he says that's the same idea of the evening service, Arvit. On one hand, the sky has gone gray. In fact, it's gone dark. It's a dark time. But the Zohar says that the reason that the Talmud talks about the evening service as elective is because it's not within the purview of people's possibility. You can't do it. You can only necessarily access or actuate the divine blessings achieved through prayer, through shachris, and through mincha. But he says evening services represent something very, very lofty and high. And when he says, Mikom makamashahu reshut, when we say it's an elective, eina kavana she'en kana avoda klal, doesn't mean that our efforts are meaningless here. Rather, he says, it means it's intrinsically beyond our purview, outside of our orbit. However, he says this is the difference between earning a salary and receiving a gift. If I earn a salary, I've put the hours in and I have an hourly rate. If my fee is $100 an hour, if I worked 5 hours, $500 is what I bill. Now, sometimes you do something for somebody and they give you a gift. You don't really look at the gift and say, well, how much did it cost and did it equal the hours that I invested? It's not like that. The gift isn't commensurate to the efforts. Sometimes the gift can be far more valuable than the hours you put in, sometimes far less. The gift, well, it's a gift. It comes from the giver. And it's not commensurate to our actions, to our efforts. And yet, says the Rebbe Rashab, we know the Gemara tells us that the gift comes the Ovid Leinaicha. You did something to earn the gift. Not in a way of dollars and cents or hours in payment. It's not a billable thing. But you created this relationship. You did something for the person. They gave you the gift. You know, there's a person I've helped a lot. I kind of saw it as my duty, although really I'm not technically responsible at all. He's not part of my congregation per se. He's a person who is looking for some mentorship, and I just felt obligated. I felt I had to respond, and I did. And he showed up before Pesach, and he brought me a gift. So like a fancy bottle of whiskey, which of course I sold with the chametz. I would never spend that kind of money on a bottle of whiskey. And I don't know that it equals the hours I put in. That's not the point. This guy went out of his way to do something that I would never spend money on myself, but he knows I would enjoy, in order to express his appreciation and his gratitude. So, would you say that I earned the gift? Not per se, but the gift came as a result of efforts made. The Rebbe Rashab explains the idea of a mitzvah which is called reshut in the same fashion. And he says, in a way, the gift represents something far more profound than the invoice paid. And that's the notion of Tfilat Arvit Reshut. He says the evening service indeed was elected because the result of those prayers was a profusion of holiness that is like a gift. Well, if that in that case, then why is Ma'ariv, why is the evening service right now mandatory? He says because in the early years they were capable, the beginning of the development of Torah Judaism as we know it today, the time of the Mishnah or before that, they were capable of reaching this very lofty level of self-abnegation before God, the level that we metaphorize as silence, which is golden or more powerful than words stated. But he said, in today's day and age, since we aren't capable of ever achieving that, our sages made it mandatory so at least we could achieve something. The Rebbe Rashab goes on to say in this Maimer that the notion of Rishut means that it doesn't mean that there is no meaning or value to our efforts. On the contrary, he says, it means our efforts are even more valued and appreciated. And he says this, Ulezot, tzarich lihiyot achilas matzah. There must be eating of matzah, gam b'hashishi yamim, also on the 6 days. And he says, there is ktsat mitzvah. There is somewhat of a mitzvah, although it isn't obligatory, just like Ma'ariv. And he says, you see, Ma'ariv is a mitzvah. As we mentioned in Tzemach Tzedek, if you missed Ma'ariv, even if the school of thought that says it's elective, you can still daven 2 shacharits to make up for that. And so, k'moykinu b'ashish yamim she'tzrichin le'echol matzah. We must eat matzah. And he says, in some way, the blessings it brings are far beyond the blessings we achieved on the night of the Seder. Now, it's clearly not tashlumen. If you missed matzah on the night of the Seder, oy vey, you're in trouble. But if you ate matzah on the night of the Seder, you have a remarkable opportunity to bring forth even greater faith and even bigger blessings of health and wellness. My response to the COVID lockdown, eat matzah. Everybody eat matzah. It has the properties of health, wellness. It has the ability to bring us the brachas that we so desperately seek. I'm not saying we shouldn't be taking natural measures. Of course we should. I'm saying that there's something we can do now to bring ourselves the blessing of faith and the health and wellness that comes along with it. The Rebbe's father had been sent into exile. He didn't have any books with him. He had a chumash, a siddur, a zohar, and the margins were filled with tiny manuscript, tiny writing. Ink that was manufactured by the Rebbe's mother with tremendous sacrifice in that forsaken village where Rebbe Levick was exiled to. The weather is so bad, nothing even grows. It's like a frozen tundra / desert. Awful place. This place called Chile. And yet the Rebbetzin would go in the blistering heat and the freezing winter to try to find something, a blade of grass, so she could make ink, so Reb Levick should be able to write his incredible chidushim, his mind which never stopped working despite the suffering and the deprivation. And it's phenomenal. We only have a fraction of those margins. Fraction. 6 books were printed from them. And with no books for reference whatsoever, the Rebbe's holy father, whose birthday was yesterday, in his Ha'aras HaZohar Parshas Yisrei, he speaks about the difference between Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, and the difference of Pesach. And he says Shavuot is connected to Da'at, to knowledge. Hashem gives us His Torah. But Pesach, he says, is connected not to knowledge, but to faith. That's the meaning of Va'arastich li be'emunah. Hashem says, I betroth you with faith. And how does one achieve faith on Pesach? He says, Be'Pesach etzal yedei achilat matzah. On Pesach, it comes through the eating of matzah, michla de mehemenusa. And the Rebbe's father added in parentheses, Ubezeyish gam kem beis bechinis. There are two dimensions here. This is only mentioned twice in the entirety of Chassidus. Three times. Nitlereba, one mimer, the Tzemach Tzedek, and a mimer from the Rebbe Rashab. Ubezeyish gam kem beis bechinis. Matzev de chova, the obligatory matzah, Shebalil Aleph to Pesach, which is on the first night of Pesach. Hu bechinas vayeomein ha'om. This is the idea of the faith that it says Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim. He showed the people the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and they expressed themselves faithfully. There was a profusion of faith that was articulated by the Jewish people at that time. And then he says, there's the matzah d'rishus, there's the elective eating of matzah, ha-gavoya mechoiva, which is higher, loftier, from a mystical, spiritual perspective, than the obligatory matzah, just like the mitzvah of praying the evening service, ma'ariv, is gavoya mechachras and mincha, higher than shacharat and mincha, which is chovah. This represents the idea of Vayaminu Bahashem. They believed in Hashem, Bekriyat Yamsuf. At the beginning of the journey, Moshe Rabbeinu showed them signs. They expressed themselves with faith, and then they began to doubt. Because things got much worse. But when they came through Kriyas Yamsuf, then there was an absolute perfect statement of faith, Vayaminu Bahashem of Moshe Avdei. The difference, the two bookends in redemption, according to the Rebbe's father, represent the matzah, which is obligatory, a basic expression of faith, and the matzah, which is elective, a far greater and higher expression of faith. In other words, if we are to take the words of Reb Levick at face value, and I do, the matzah we'll be eating today can bring us greater faith, can fortify our faith and enhance our faith and uplift our neshama and give us greater clarity, and that leads to the healing and wellness even more so than the matzah on the night of the Seder. And that leads us to V'yadaita as Hashem, to knowing Hashem, which is a Matan Torah that happens on Chag HaShavuot. There's an amazing edited sikhar, an edited talk from the Rebbe in Lekut HaSichas Chelek Chav Beis, in the 22nd volume of Lekut HaSichas. It's a sikha that talks on many, many subjects, but amongst the many things it touches upon, the Rebbe gives an explanation as to why the matzah, which is elective, should be more effective than matzah, which is mandatory or obligatory. And the Rebbe says that on the seventh day of Pesach, we have effectuated self-refinement because we go into Sefirat HaOmer, and the period of Sefirat HaOmer represents us actually changing. And he says when we change, it's very meaningful to God. And the Rebbe says this, the achila of matzah, which is chovah, which is obligatory, which is actually a mitzvah, this represents, as mitzad keches atzmei halter noch nit by der aveda for matzah. You yourself haven't reached the level of self-abnegation, lechem oni, of humility of matzah. The idea of bittul, being able to renounce self-importance, being able to go beyond, transcend your own ego, your own selfish desires or concerns. The idea of iskafia, being able to crush the Yetzer Hara, rein him in, and not allow him expression. On the far, vertaifim aruiv gelegt ba'efen shachiyuv a mitzvah. Do you know why it's obligatory? You'd never get there by yourself. If we left matzah, an elective on the first night of Pesach, nobody would eat matzah. But he says, mashen kedemim fin reshus. When the Torah comes along and says, you ate matzah on the night of the Seder, let me see what you can do yourself now, God says. As min lost iber zu sein ratzen. No, you don't have to. You may choose to. Es ist aber weiß. This in and of itself indicates, as men farlos sichayfim, Hashem says, now I'm ready to rely on you. I couldn't have relied on you to begin with. I needed to make it mandatory. But now that you've done your duty, Hashem says, I expect you to go beyond the call of duty. And you don't have to, so to speak, be warned, scolded, commanded, or mandated. At this point, now the avodah von achilas matzah is shin gevorna inyan vaserken und vetalein durchfirin. In other words, The eating matzah on the subsequent days of Pesach represents not itkafya, or the crushing of the Yetzer Hara, but it actually represents ithapcha, the transformation of the darkness, the negativity, the equivalent of sickness and illness. The Friedrich Rebbe writes in one of his memoirs, the machla, the malady, malediction, the sickness called ich, I, of arrogance, of selfishness. Matzah represents getting past that. My dear friends, the breaking news about breaking matzah is, it's not too late. If you ate matzah on the first night of Pesach, keep eating matzah. Because eating matzah on the days of Pesach that follow may not be mandated, but they can achieve amazing things. I conclude with the blessings of Gut Yom Tov, Gut Moed. I wish you all a continued happy and a kosher Pesach, and I hope and I pray that as we will eat matzah going beyond the call of duty, that Hashem will keep all of us safe and secure, and with our fortified faith, we'll find ourselves fortified and inoculated not only against the evil inclination, selfishness, or Yetzer Hara, but instead we'll find ourselves also receiving those blessings in real time, in the physical, in the manner of flesh and blood, inoculated and protected from illness, and out of good health, and out of material strength, we should merit to continue our journey of uplifting the physical, the material, the ordinary, the flesh and blood side of our existence, by virtue of which we elevate really the entire world to such time when there will be no more illness, no more sickness, in fact, no more negativity, and of course, no more death, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu and the fruition of the Yetziyah Mimitzrayim that we all hope and pray for. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen. Thanks so much for joining today. I hope you found that inspirational.